On a very, very cold January day in 1967, about 10 degrees below zero, my parents received a phone call, an urgent phone call, from the director of Heifer Project in the state of Massachusetts, who happened also to be a good close friend. My father answered the phone, and Bob Mayhew, that was his name, Bob said, "Luke, there's been a terrible accident with at least two fatalities." It was a family that was to host a 14-year-old girl from the Dominican Republic for a year, and they were headed to Logan Airport in Boston to pick her up. "Her plane lands in 2 hours. Could you pick her up and host her for a year?" My father gulped, stammered. But Bob was a good friend and he trusted him. And after gathering his wits a little bit, he said, "Well, hang on, I'll ask Charlotte. Char, are we able to host a 14-year-old girl from the Dominican Republic for a year?" There was silence. And then my mother said, "Yes." And thus began a love affair. And it's a love affair that has lasted in our extended family now for over 50 years and is still going strong. Even after the death of my parents, my mother died in 1992 and my father in 99. Tati Altagracia Gonzalez Keegan. Now, I know the Keegan doesn't fit. And I'll tell you why in a moment. You'll understand. And she is a sister to me just as much as my own sister. And those 50 years have witnessed, however, times of real struggle with passports, visas, embassies of both the United States and the Dominican Republic, mostly the Dominican Republic, some very covert civil disobedience, particularly on the part of my father, an arranged marriage, this is where the Keegan part comes in, for $1,500, all of that in between, Social Security payments made to another person's number, and trying to keep one step ahead of the Immigration Service. Love affairs are sometimes very complicated. Tati and my parents hit it off immediately. She had arrived at Logan Airport wearing a sundress, and I told you it was 10 degrees below zero. She spoke literally not a word of English, so it was quite a beginning. She attended school that first year, and Carol and I were living in Ohio then. We did not meet her until that summer. She returned to the Dominican Republic after that first year, knowing English quite well. She did very well, with the vow to come back again and again and again as often as she could. The first two subsequent visits went easily. Both governments agreed on that whole process connected with visas. And then the problems began. Regulations tightened, mostly in the Dominican Republic. It became more and more difficult to get a visa to come to the U.S. Appointments for interviews at the embassy in Santo Domingo were delayed for months and months and months, and a couple of times for over an entire year before she was finally granted permission to travel again. Finally, after one of those prolonged visits, she was now in her 20s, Tati overstayed her visa. And really, she did it deliberately, partly because she had a vision. Now the trouble really began in earnest. Our family petitions for help to assure that Tati could travel back and forth from the States to the Dominican Republic were extremely difficult if she were going to be allowed to visit here. The Dominican Republic was a particular problem. Senator Ted Kennedy, worked tirelessly with my father in the effort to get her visa to come here and live permanently. Fast forward, a lot of things happened in the intervening years. Tati stayed here. She found work illegally, living mostly underground. With the help of friends and, I must say, our family. And finally, a scheme occurred to her friends, not to our family, her friends did this, which was quite common in the late 60s or the late 80s and 90s. And Tati arranged to be married to a U.S. citizen. His name was Keegan, Mr. Keegan. I don't remember his first name now. And, of course, he was a citizen, and this would mean that she would be able to stay here permanently. So the $1,500 was paid to Mr. Keegan, and they moved in together, knowing that there would be inspections, you know, from the Immigration Service. And, indeed, there were inspections. And Mr. Keegan and Tati were in the same house. He lived upstairs. She lived downstairs. My mother said, well, aren't you sleeping together? And Tati says, well, just because you're married doesn't mean you have to sleep together. All the while, of course, friends had been providing Tati with what really amounts to sanctuary. Now Tati was married to Mr. Keegan. The scheme actually worked. With Tati now here legally, she could work, pay now into her own Social Security, and eventually Mr. Keegan went on his way, save for a phone number that Tati was left with in order to get in contact with him if she needed to. Well, that part of the story ends, sort of. She was now on her way to becoming a full-fledged citizen of the United States, able to travel freely between the two countries, an event my mother never witnessed because she died before that happened. The years passed, and in 2008 or so, Tati tried to call Mr. Keegan at Christmas time. She had this number, but no address, and there was no answer. The number had been disconnected. So she waited. Nothing occurred. He did not call her at Christmas time. They had kind of communicated. There was nothing hostile between the two of them. It wasn't love. There was no emotional or romantic connection. One day, Tati got a strange notice from an insurance company wanting to get in touch with her. She was absolutely and totally mystified, really didn't know what to do. Friends told her, and I think I told her, well, at least make a phone call and find out what it's about. And so she did. She called. The insurance company came with a representative to talk to her. It turns out that this same Mr. Keegan had died, and he had left her an insurance policy. worth $10,000. The same Mr. Keegan that she had paid $1,500 to marry her in the first place. Toddie was overwhelmed, but turned right around, and you know what she did? She gave all that money away. Mostly to her family, but to other Dominican friends who were struggling and needed some help. Toddie is now a citizen. She lives in Yonkers, New York, and has actually visited this very sanctuary several times and will probably come here again. A love story with some intrigue, lots of hospitality, carried to an extreme of sanctuary of sorts with a happy ending. Except the ending hasn't happened yet. We will be visiting Toddie next month in Yonkers. So that 14-year-old girl who got off the plane at Logan Airport in Boston in 10 degree below zero weather in a sundress is now 65, drawing Social Security and living happily with her daughter and her family in Yonkers, New York.
I didn't really realize how much of the story Mike was going to tell. Let's just take a moment and sit with this story, and in about a minute I'll ring our chime and we can go on.